The second debate on Thursday, October 3rd at the Sydney Library Smart Community Room featured Democratic candidate Bill Heath and Republican Jean Pigford, who are both seeking to become the next Sydney Town Supervisor. Sam Pollock of the Daily Star also moderated this debate.
Okay, let's get started. Our two candidates for supervisor are Eugene Pigford and Bill Heath. You can applaud. Okay, we're on kind of a tight schedule, so we will begin right away with opening statements. And Eugene, you're first.
Well, I must say I enjoyed the first half of this debate probably far more than I will the second half. So in some way, thank you for that earlier opportunity. My name is Gene Pigford. My wife and I have been seasonal residents in the Sydney area probably for the last 40 years. By seasonal, I mean summertime vacation. We love these hills, these mountains. Edie's grandparents and parents both retired here. We live in the house that they lived in retirement, so we're the third generation to occupy that property. So we feel we're a part of this community. We love this community and the people in it. My adult career began as a high school chemistry and physics teacher, and I fulfilled that responsibility for 2 years prior to responding to what I felt was God's call in my life to be a Salvation Army officer. I served in that capacity for 47 years. During that time, I had administrative responsibilities, one in eastern Pennsylvania as the assistant administrator for all operations in the eastern half of Pennsylvania. And then I was the divisional commander, which would be the CEO for the regional area of Northeast Ohio and Empire State area other than New York City. All of those operations had budgets in the neighborhood of $37 million. That doesn't mean I wrote all the checks. That means that there was an administrative staff that worked to fulfill that mission. So that's been my background. I'm here this evening because I care about this community. And these issues are important to me. And I would simply share with you that my heart and mind are focused on these issues and the best interests of this community and you as its members. Thank you.
Thank you, Eugene. Bill Heath.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Heath. I'm running for supervisor at the Town of Sydney. And I first want to thank everybody for being here tonight. I want to thank the Friends of Sydney, Friends of Sustainable Sydney for putting this on. I want to thank Sam for moderating tonight and CDO for doing the all this stuff, the radio and recording of this. And I want to thank Terry for putting up with me for the last 9 months on the board and for this whole campaign here. So I've spent the bulk of my life in and around Sydney, born here, moved away, came back, and worked at a local company here, ACCO now, for 28 years now. So I really enjoy this area. This is home to me. I really care about the area. I want to do the best I can for the people of this town as supervisor, if you let me. So I would think as supervisor, I would like to work with the with a group of very progressive individuals to see if I can read here, create new opportunities for growth potential, try and keep our kids here in the area, give them opportunities here like everybody else has. I think we owe it to them to keep them here and create the best town that we can for them. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill Heath. Okay, our first question will go to Eugene. The County Board of Supervisors is a tough crowd. Do you have what it takes to protect Sydney's interests?
One can always exude confidence before the game begins, I suppose. I will take your word that they are a tough crowd. I've not had that pleasure of interacting with them. I have had the joy of interacting with other tough crowds in my life, and as you see, I've lived to tell the tale. Do I have what it takes? I can only refer to my own life experience. I can't rewrite my history. I can only say to you that my priorities are the well-being of this community, the well-being of every community in which I serve, and I will try to represent that with integrity and objectivity.
Okay, thank you very much, Eugene. Bill.
Okay, do I have what it takes? I have been to county meetings. I've been to a number of them in the last few months, and they are a tough crowd. I've also spent the last 9 months with Bob McCarthy, so I know what a tough crowd is. I believe I have what it takes to deal with the county level. I would like to think so. I would like the opportunity to see if I do, and use my background here in Sydney in the town council to basically try and sway things our way and protect our people and our properties over here.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Bill, we'll start with you this time. As supervisor, what would you do to promote cooperation both politically and economically between the village and the town?
I actually have been working with the village on a limited basis so far to try and see where we can share services, share equipment that would help save both of us time and money. If we can share people, if we can share any kind of service, we would definitely appreciate that. We would work together with them. We hopefully have a working relationship with a few people on the board there that we can really foster some growth there.
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Eugene.
I think if you read the newspaper a week or so ago, you have seen an article from the village outlining some of their immediate and longer-range plans, and they're exciting. Similarly, if you've had some interactions in the Sydney Center community, you will note that that's a community that takes a great deal of pride in who they are and where they are going. I would see the opportunity, very important, of for the Sydney Town Board to coordinate and facilitate and encourage the initiatives that are represented both in the village and in the hamlet of Sydney Center. I'd like to go with a tune in next time for the next exciting episode. Hold on. Thank you. I've got time. All right. Here comes the next exciting episode. I believe in coordinating initiatives. For example, in the hamlet of Sydney Center, we have a septic system study that is currently underway. We also have the Carrs Creek Watershed Initiative that is really an exciting progression. And in conversations with Mike earlier, I found out that while the septic study doesn't completely focus the Carrs Creek study, it certainly has a small impact on it. My point is, let's find out what the results are, what's in the best interest of the local community, how can these things mutually support each other. Same thing's true as far as the village is concerned. I think we ought to be able to facilitate and encourage and coordinate all those initiatives in ways that are mutually supportive and not in conflict with each other. So my focus is for a unified facilitating strategy. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Eugene, you're still up. Regarding the town budget, if you are elected, to what extent do you intend to involve the other committee members in discussions, and will you restore budget workshops that are open to the public? Eugene.
I certainly believe in people thinking together and working through solutions. I'm not a person that particularly likes to do things in isolation. I value the contribution of everybody involved, and I would certainly look for that kind of communication in any dialogues we have and any decisions we make. As far as the budget is concerned, we will need all the expertise we can possibly have in developing a united focus in the face of some very challenging circumstances that have already been, we've had some reference to.
Thank you. Bill.
I believe that, actually, yes, I would involve everybody. I believe that everybody needs to be involved. I believe the public needs to be involved. We need to have workshops where people know where their money is going, what our revenue streams are, so that we can build upon that and get ideas from the people in the community and other board members. I think everybody should be aware of what's going on.
Thank you. This question is, what plans do you have for the hospital after Amphenol leaves? What is the time schedule? How much public money is going toward the operation now? Should we indeed expand the services available, such as looking for a dental practice, acupuncture, massage therapy, etc.? And it is yours.
Ken, the hospital is a tough issue. There are, well, first of all, when Amphenol leaves, we do have Bassett there that is leasing space. They want to expand. They're basically going to expand into the area where Amphenol is. So they actually will support that building by themselves. As of right now, looking at the budget, there is no public money going to fund that hospital. That hospital is a standalone business on its own, creating its own income. The only problem is right now the town doesn't benefit from that income because of the way the loan was structured to pay off the hospital. We cannot benefit from that right now. We cannot put public money into it, and it will be 3 years out until we pay that off. Basically, I would keep it going the way it is, lease more space to Bassett, and it would sustain itself.
Okay. Thank you. Bill, Eugene.
I think the hospital is a resource for the community. If expanding its medical services could be realized and at the same time give us some additional income for the town, I think that would be a good thing. I think that has to be counterbalanced against it. We cannot allow, I don't think, the town to be in the position of underwriting the hospital on a long-term basis. We currently have a $300,000 obligation over the next 3 years that comes out of the town general fund. We understand the reasons why it's there, but nevertheless, it is a major issue, and we would certainly hope in 3 years when that situation is satisfied that the hospital would be in a good fiscal position and would even be stronger in our community than it had been earlier.
Okay. You know, if either of you want to comment on the other's answer, please feel free as we go on. This is a hospital related question. What will become of the money after all of the hospital debt is paid off? Eugene.
Having said earlier that I believe in participatory dialogue in defining those things, I'm not sure I'm in a position to specifically respond to that. Certainly the alleviation of that pressure from the town budget would allow us to focus in other areas, perhaps some of them developmental areas where new initiatives in the town could be explored. For example, what could we do to encourage some new businesses developing? What could we do to make our community an attractive place? If you read the history of Sydney, you'll find out that there were certain key individuals, Keith Clark, for example, that brought a major industry into this town. Prior to that, there were certain key people that made the overtures to other areas and brought those industries here. I know that's not an easy issue, but I think that some effort needs to be made in that direction to attract and invite and make this an economically attractive environment for new initiatives.
Thank you, Eugene. Bill.
When the debt is paid off from the hospital, the $330,000 a year. That money actually does come from general fund, so that would continue. That would actually go back into general fund. So we would have, at that point, a windfall. And it would be up to the board and the people of the community to decide where that goes, whether we use some of that to lower taxes, whether we use that to try and bring business in, depending on what initiatives at that point need to be taken care of. Maybe a little more with the highway department. That's 3 years away, so we'll have to see what happens in 3 years.
Okay. Bill, we'll start with you. As supervisor, what would you consider the most important topic facing Sydney?
Right now, the most important topic in Sydney is the budget. We need to really scrutinize the budget. As Paul had mentioned earlier, at the last meeting, it was noted that we've dipped into reserves for the last 3 years, and we can't continue doing that. We need to balance our budget and balance that with the services that we have in this town, the level that we want to keep, and that's going to be a tough issue.
Eugene.
I've made reference on a few occasions to the Sydney Town Comprehensive Plan, which is a resource document now probably 13 or 14 years old, but it is very interesting as you read it how relevant it is to some of the issues we're talking about today. I think the primary issue facing the township is having a clear, defined direction of where they want to go in the future. And I think the budget, and there are critical issues to the budget, the budget needs to be supportive of that, and as we face those hard issues, maybe we won't be able to get the long range immediately, but I think we need to begin laying the groundwork, even in our working of the budget this coming year, as to the direction we want to ultimately move as a town.
Okay. What, if any, policy and or procedure currently utilized by our town government would you change or modify? Eugene.
I've attended town meetings for the last 3 or so years. I think what I would like to see procedurally in a town meeting is, first of all, agendas completed in advance of the meeting with either board members or other concerned citizens submitting items so an agenda can be prepared in advance, hopefully shared with town council members at least a couple of days in advance so they can be thinking about the issues involved in that process. I think every town meeting should have the opportunity for open input from the community. And if an issue can be presented in a reasonable amount of time, say 3 to 4 to 5 minutes, then maybe there can be immediate response to it. If it's more complex, then I think some additional preparation may need to be either made by the person themselves or perhaps a town council member can come alongside them and work with them and making a formal presentation for the following meeting. But I think every request that comes should receive courteous and detailed consideration and a timely response.
Bill?
I agree with everything you said, Gene. I think that we need open government. People have the opportunity to speak. I think agendas should be out there prior to the meeting. Right now we have an IT committee. We are going to have a website up this year. Some of those things will take place this year. I believe in the future we need to, again, the budget. We need to have go back to having the workshops where people are involved in deciding the budget and know where everything's going. So that's the one thing that I would change. Some of those others are in the midst of being changed. So.
Okay, Bill, we'll start with you. What are your goals and vision for the town of Sydney over the next 5 years and 50 years? 50, 50, 50.
Wow, that's a tough one. 50 years, wow. One of my visions for this town is to make it, basically bring it back to what it was, the pride in Sydney, keeping our young people here so that they can enjoy this area the way that we have grown up. I see too many of them leaving town, going to college, not coming back. If we had opportunities for them, they can be involved in the future of this town, this whole area. I think we need to keep them here, and my vision would hopefully be to create enough jobs and opportunities for careers to bring them back here and keep them here. So.
Okay. Eugene?
Well, I'd certainly like to say me too, in addition to everything that has been said for that. I think Bill is more likely to see the 50-year milestone than I am, but we'll leave that for future generations to find out. But I think there's so much potential in this town. I find myself, when I'm walking through other towns, and you know, you look at the novelty shops and some of the little creative things that are on Main Street in those towns, and I find myself asking the question, could this work in Sydney? I think it could. And I think we, whenever we go around traveling, we ought to always be thinking about, you know, the hometown. What could happen here? What things could we bring here? What kind of hometown atmosphere could we have that would really enhance it? One of the other things I did want to mention related to that is the village is working very hard on some flood relief initiatives that are going to enhance and beautify this community, and we look forward to seeing how they progress. I would just hope that, and we haven't talked about the pipeline or the gas line or anything of that nature, but I hope that whatever utilities are envisioned, that there's an overall strategy that says, okay, let's not dig up the village twice, let's not dig up the town twice, let's have one overall progression that in a systematic way deals with all of those issues, so we only, you know, we do it right, we go through it, and then we can celebrate together what's been accomplished. 15 seconds. I have 15 seconds. Okay, we'll address the 50 years then. Having begun in that direction,
you're done.
Thank you, I think.
Okay. The Tri-Town Bipartisan Committee recently completed an epidemiological study, try saying that three times fast, of Sydney. There are high rates of cancer in neighborhoods near toxic industrial waste dumps. As town supervisor, would you advocate for the New York State Department of Health to investigate further? And Eugene, I believe it's yours.
I think any time citizens are at risk and there are unknown factors, yes, I think we need to investigate as fully as possible what those factors are and what can be done to correct them.
Okay. Bill?
I'd say ditto, but yes, I believe that we would have to definitely watch those areas and investigate what is causing them or what can we do to alleviate some of that. I believe that I'm not sure if Richardson Hill was included in that, but I know there are areas in the village that that basically are affected. And I'm not sure exactly what has been done in those areas now, but I think we need to investigate to really clean them up and clear some of this out.
You both have plenty of time left. Anyone want to address the 50-year question?
Across from the town hall is a empty building, and we all know it's there. Sometime in the next, you know, it's been there for 50 years. I suspect unless something of a critical nature happens, it may be there for another 50 years. And I would hope in the next 50 years, something really creative can be done to make that a community asset rather than just being there.
Bill, do you want to weigh in?
Three seconds.
Now go ahead, Bill, if you want to say something.
My 50-year plan, I don't know that I'll be around for that, but I would hope that this area thrives enough to be what it used to be years and years ago, a very thriving area where people want to be here. There's reason for them to come here, whether it's restaurants, whether it's shows, whatever it is. I hope that we get back to that point. So.
Okay. Thank you both. Where do you rank the current emergency services void in town budget priorities? And we'll go with you, Bill, first.
Wow. And I know that the village and a few people on the town are actually looking at this ambulance service for the area. I believe it's very important to have that here. We are an aging community. At this point, you can have up to a 45-minute wait for an ambulance in this area. We need to cut that down. We definitely need to have an ambulance service in the area. I don't know that the, from everything I hear, the fire department is not equipped to service that. I'm not sure. We have not seen any numbers as to what the town needs to put into that to create that. I know that we would need, from what I understand, a building at the hospital to house ambulances. What those costs are, I don't know. And at this point, the way the budget is, I don't know that we could afford to do that. We may have to look for grants, but I think it is a priority to get that ambulance service in this village. So,
Eugene?
I do understand that there's a study underway to determine what the emergency needs are within the village. So we would, first of all, look forward to that study. We would celebrate the fact that we will have a $300,000 albatross off our necks in 3 years, and perhaps that could be the beginning of some source monies to begin to implement that. I'm also aware that there's a program somewhere in the state where college students who become volunteer firefighters are eligible for tuition assistance. I think that's a great idea. And I wonder if something of that nature could be made available to college students to get some EMT training. And certainly those needs are far more sophisticated now than they were a few years ago. But I think we do need to broaden our base of emergency trained personnel. I think either today or tomorrow is Firemen's Appreciation Week, is it locally? And what our community response will be to that and what piece EMT has to play in all that. I think we need to give some deliberate think, thought, and strategy to how to strengthen that.
Okay. What is your position on the pipeline and gas exploration and extraction, fracking? Do you believe one can be done without the other? We'll start with you, Eugene.
I do believe one can be done without the other. I think in many ways, low-cost gas available to our communities would be a strong enhancement for our present industries. And as John said earlier, we need to protect the industries we already have. I don't think we're going to get a huge amount of additional jobs coming from our present industries. I think they've about maxed out what they can. But I think we need to have an environment that attracts other potential industries to the area. As far as fracking is concerned, I would share with you I do have extreme concerns about it. I think their techniques have improved. I think certainly some communities have benefited from it. But I would be deliberately cautious and want to explore every possibility prior to moving in that direction. One of my other concerns about fracking per se is once that initiative is in your community, you don't have a great deal of control over the number. You know, there's a community contiguous from here next to us, that would envision upwards to maybe over 30 fracking units. Imagine how that changes the scope of the town and the environment of the town if that were to come to pass. I do think that a local community needs to be able to exert some control through their zoning, through their local ordinances. I went to a conference from the Albany Law School about a year or so ago. Their recommendation was if a town has a master plan that they are operating under, if their zoning laws and ordinances are consistent with that, with their overall vision for the community, that is the strongest possible position for a town to have related to those kinds of initiatives.
Thank you. Bill.
As far as the pipeline, I don't believe I've heard different answers from both sides and from the gas company, whether we can or can't tap into this pipeline. If we are not going to benefit from this pipeline, I see no reason to bring it through our area and disrupt the area with that. Yes, we would have a few jobs temporarily. As for fracking, I am totally against fracking. I don't believe whether it can be or can't be done safely, it's not being done safely. I think it changes the environment, the whole outlook of the community. Everybody relies on that now. And I think it's so short term that it's a boom and then a bust. Economically, I don't think it's viable to base your community on, you know, jobs from that. There are alternatives to bringing a pipeline through here and or fracking. There are other ways to get gas in this area, and there are other alternatives to gas. So I think a lot of that needs to be explored before we just bring a pipeline through or start fracking. So,
okay. Bill? Sure, absolutely.
I just wanted to observe as well, I think it's important for a community to maintain multiple energy resources as much as possible and not put all your eggs in one basket, so to speak. Because if you put all your eggs in one basket, once that group, whatever it is, has that total control, then the prices begin to escalate. If you have other alternative sources, they may not be large ones, but I'm thinking like solar or wind or I love the idea in Puerto Rico. They burn their trash and they get energy out of it, but there's other reasons why that's not an immediate option for us. Wish it was. But I do think as much as possible we ought to maintain multiple energy options available to us just to keep it competitive.
All right. Bill, we'll start with you again, I guess. What is your view on the current moratorium? And let's go ahead and throw in home rule also.
Okay, I definitely do believe in home rule. I believe that we have the best knowledge of our area, and I believe that we should be able to dictate what happens in this area. Not just me personally, but the board, the community, everybody should have a say. But I don't think that we should be told what we need to do. As far as, what was the first part of that question?
The moratorium.
Moratorium, I definitely believe in because I believe we need to review our zoning and our ordinances and, if need be, make those ordinances laws to help protect this area, our people, so that if the state allows fracking, we are prepared for it. I would rather not see it come here, but if the state pushes it, then we'll be ready.
Thank you. Eugene.
I believe that the moratorium was submitted and implemented by well-intentioned people, and I believe they, in good conscience, were representing their constituency when they enacted it. I also believe that those who challenged it were also representing their constituency and acting in their own conscience and what they believed was in the best interest of the community. While this local moratorium was going on, there was already one in place on the state level. As I recall, the town meeting where it was implemented, the statement was that this would give us a year to evaluate and become more familiar with fracking procedures. I think you deliberately eliminated the pipeline from that moratorium consideration, if I recall correctly. So my question is, okay, in the year that we had that, what do we know now that we didn't know then? And when we come to the end of the local moratorium for this year, what are we going to do then? Are we going to extend it for another year? Or are we going to have a different approach? And my recommendation would be to take a very specific look at our local ordinances and zoning laws and our own master plan and make the definition of our local ordinances and zoning laws consistent to protect both the industry initiatives that are important to us and the agricultural and the environmental resources that are very important to this community.
Our gentleman, if elected, how would you propose to represent all of your constituents, those pro and anti-gas fracking? Eugene?
I think you do a great deal of study, and you desperately try to find objective information, which is critically difficult to come by. Even university graduate-level studies, both, well, those that are pro-fracking, are largely funded by the gas industry. So it's very difficult to find objective information. I'm also very interested in what the governor is going to do as far as the health care laws, the health issue is related to fracking. Down in Sayre, Pennsylvania, their hospital there probably has more experience than anybody else in dealing with health issues associated with it. The problem is, before they will come to any definitive conclusions regarding that, decisions will probably be made, driven maybe more by economics than by information that cannot be derived immediately. So I would move with a great deal of reserve, and I would hope that as we investigate all of that responsibly, we could at least be in dialogue with those that are for it and against it and develop some strategy that will, if not everybody can celebrate, everybody can at least tolerate.
Bill?
Again, I agree with what you said, Gene. I believe that when you have such an issue that's as volatile as pro or anti-gas, you do try and find the most up-to-date information you can find. You can listen to both sides. There's information out there that is totally wrong. People are working from disinformation, misinformation. But either way, whichever way it's decided, neither party is going to be totally happy. It's a compromise, no matter what you do. And that, again, depends on where the state ends up with this issue as to where we end up with it. If we can keep the moratorium in place, I would be all for it. I would listen to both sides. See what everybody has to say. See if you can find information that is correct as to where to go with that. And then as a board, as a community, make that decision as to where we go.
Okay. To your great credit, both of you, this has been about the most collegial debate I've ever been to. But I'm going to ask one. This is our last question to try to get you out of that. What are the significant differences between the candidates as you see it? And we'll start with you, Bill.
The differences between the candidates. I'm a little younger than Gene is. I... I don't know that there's a lot of differences between us, other than age, experience. I've been on the town board for 9 months. Gene's been there at every meeting, so you know what's going on. I don't see a huge difference as far as some of our ideology, as far as some of our decisions that we would make. I think the biggest difference is when you get to the county level. I've seen some things there that I just believe I would handle a little better than Gene would. And I really don't see a whole lot of difference other than that. So.
Eugene?
Well, first I want to say my hair is jet black and I just dyed gray to get a little respect. It's been my privilege for the last several months to serve on the Town of Sidney Planning Board. And I do want to thank Bill publicly because he is the one that gave that invitation to me. And I think that suggests, as Bill has already suggested, that we share a great deal in common. Those things that we share in common are certainly a commitment to the well-being of the community. The details of how we get there may vary slightly, but I think our hearts are beating in the same way, and so you as a community have the delightful privilege of making a decision along the way as to what's the better way to go. And however that turns out, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to participate and wish you well, and to thank all of you who made this possible.
Well, we've still got our closing statements, and Eugene, you're up.
I don't think the future just happens. I think it takes committed, intelligent people sitting together and planning for it, counting the cost to make it happen. Some of them are fiscal. Developing a vision of where they are and where they want to be as a community. I do think the history of the comprehensive plan has a lot to tell us about that, but I think we need to write our own chapter for the future, for this community, for this town, and I'll be excited to be a part of that, whatever opportunities afforded me.
Bill?
I was just thinking when you were talking there, I remember an old saying, it takes a village to raise a child. And I think it takes a village to determine where the village is going. I think we need to get everybody involved. Everybody that's here tonight is definitely involved. There's other people that aren't here. I think everybody needs to have a say in what goes on. I think that the way the board is run now needs to be more open. We need to, if need be, call somebody in and teach us how to be more open. Some of the steps we're taking now, the website, things like that, we can get people involved that way. Hopefully we can reach out and bring more people in. Get people in, get their opinions. And five people on the board don't know everything. We need experience. We need ideas from everybody. So hopefully we can get that.
Okay, I would like to thank the candidates. And if I may be permitted to say so, I think on November 5th, you can't make a wrong choice. I think you have two outstanding candidates here. And please give them a hand, give yourself a hand, and thank you for attending tonight.
This debate will be featured on the WCDL website at WCDLradio.com by clicking on the Audio Archive tab. Thanks for listening to your news and information leader, WCDL.